Today's reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, reading from verse 13 to 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Thanks be to God for the reading of his word this morning.
Good morning. I'm sorry that I can't be with you in person for this service and for the congregational vote today, but I appreciate your understanding. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our minds and our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. You are the strength and the redemption of all who place trust in you. Amen. So today we're starting a new sermon series. It's a new series which is called Questions from Jesus. For Christians, of course, we believe that Jesus is the living Word of God. So when Jesus speaks, God speaks. And so when God asks a question, we would do very well to consider it. And that's what this whole series is about. On a fundamental level, I think asking someone a question invites them into a relationship with us. And this is what Jesus is doing in each question he asks his followers and the crowds throughout his ministry. And each and every question was posed at a particular point in the Lord's ministry for a particular purpose. But I think that each question he asks is also meant to echo throughout the ages and is meant to be answered by every generation of believers. And this first question today in this series comes to us from the middle of Matthew's Gospel, from chapter 16. The broader context of this chapter is marked by themes of conflict, of warning, and a reminder. First, there's this conflict between Jesus and the religious leaders of the time, the Pharisees and Sadducees, who demand a sign from heaven from Jesus. Second, there's a warning from Jesus himself, following on from this conflict, a warning about false teaching from religious leaders that he describes as the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And third, this chapter contains a reminder that following Jesus will come at a cost. In Matthew 16:24-25, Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will find it." So in the midst of conflict, warning, and this reminder, Jesus poses the first question we're considering. More specifically, he asks the same question in two different ways. First, in Matthew 16:13-14, it says, "When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say the Son of Man is?' And they replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.'" From this first question, we can tell that speculation about Jesus was rife during his ministry. We know he made a deep impact on those who he encountered. We also know that people were actively trying to figure out where Jesus fit into the promised story of God's salvific plan. At the time of Jesus, there was a popular notion that just before God's plan came to full fruition, prophets from the Old Testament would return to God's people and bear witness to God's truth. And this explains why people were quick to associate Jesus with figures like John the Baptist, Elijah, or even the prophet Jeremiah. In Jesus, they saw God doing something new, something exciting, something with the aroma of salvation. And I find it interesting that Jesus does not really engage with these answers. He lets them seemingly sail by. He knows these answers are well-meaning, steeped in tradition, but ultimately incorrect. Instead, he reissues the question. And this time, instead of asking what people think or people say who he is, he aims it directly at his inner circle of followers. In verse 15, "But what about you?" Jesus asked. "Who do you say I am?" Now, we have no idea how much time passed between Jesus' question and the answer we read from Peter. Maybe a few seconds. Maybe much longer. I'd like to imagine that they gave it some deep and considered thought, maybe eventually appointing Peter to answer on their behalf. Or perhaps headstrong Peter blurted out the answer immediately before asking anyone else. In verse 16, when Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God." Regardless of how they came to the answer, Jesus makes it clear that this is the right answer. In verse 17, Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." Jesus then continues, "I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now, this is one of the key passages, especially this last part, that's cited by our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters to justify things like confession and absolution from sin by priests. Catholics generally view Peter as the first pope, and so the authority Jesus gave to him is also given to all ordained priests in the Catholic tradition to bind and to loose. But this text isn't only for our Roman Catholic friends. It has meaning for us too. This question from Jesus and the answer from Peter make it clear that our ability to live as Christians, it depends on knowing who Jesus really is. To be clear, Jesus does not need us to confess his lordship, meaning he does not need us to tell him who he is. Even if every human voice fell silent, Jesus would still be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He says as much in the triumphal entry when he says, "Even if all these people were silent, the stones themselves would cry out." So this question from Jesus, it is for us. It is aimed at us. It requires an answer from each of us. In many ways, this first question, "Who do you say that I am?" it is the fundamental question that each of us must answer in our lives. Our answer to this question from Jesus will determine who we are, what we value, and how we live. Our answer to this question will determine who we are, what we value, and how we live. And if we join with Peter and answer that Jesus is Lord and Savior, then this answer can and should impact every part of our lives. Friends, we cannot confess Jesus as Lord and then proceed to hold back any part of our lives from Him. It just won't work. It's a contradiction. There's no such thing as selective lordship or selective discipleship. It's all in or it's all out. And answering the question, "Who do you say that I am?" implies that we have a very real choice with very real consequences. And every generation of believers and every individual Christian must answer this question from Jesus, "Who do you say that I am?" And of course, those of us in the church, we face enormous pressure to give some sort of half-hearted, inoffensive, PC answer, something like, "Well, I believe that Jesus is Lord, but I accept that other people might feel differently, and that's okay." Or maybe, "I believe Jesus was a great man, a great teacher, possibly the greatest who ever lived." Now, each of these answers, I think, would pass muster in our wider world. But there's just one major problem: that these kinds of answers, as well-meaning as they are not supported by anything we actually know about Jesus. From start to finish, Scripture proclaims that Jesus is Lord. It is uniform in this witness. It is unfaltering in this witness. It proclaims this and asks us our reply, and we must answer yes or no. There is no middle ground when it comes to the lordship of Jesus. And for us as Christians, silence is not an option either. "Who do you say that I am?" This is the bedrock question. Our answer to this question is the basis of everything we say, do, and think as Christians. In just a little while, we're going to have a congregational vote here in the Kirk. This will be a decision about the future structure and scope of our ministry. As with every other part of the Christian life, how we answer the ballot questions about the basis of union, it should be informed by this first question from Jesus: "Who do you say that I am?" This question reminds us that we vote on the basis of discipleship and faith. We should not vote based on fear, on our own desires, on the past, on what has I been, or even on what might happen in the future. Instead, any vote we take, whether a yes or a no, it should be an earnest attempt to submit to the lordship of Jesus. Every single one of us is called to a life of faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Every day we have is a gift from God. When we wake up each day, we are posed with this fundamental question: "Who do you say that I am?" Every day presents us with an opportunity to affirm our faith in Jesus, even if we haven't done so before. No matter what has come before, this first question from Jesus invites each of us to have a fresh start with God. So if today, if you feel or hear God knocking on the door of your life, don't ignore it. Don't push it away. Instead, take the time to listen. Take the time to sit with a question. Take the time to sit with Scripture, to prayerfully read it, to consider its message with fresh eyes, open ears, and a willing heart. Even now, ask the Holy Spirit to help us answer this first question from Jesus: "Who do you say that I am?" Every day, may God help us to answer rightly, to believe fully, and may God help us live out our answer in every part of our lives. Amen.